Kind of switching gears, we're going to talk about the cost effectiveness of telemedicine for detecting diabetic retinopathy. I just want to have no commercial relationships, and the statements that I give are my own and not of the CDC. Why CER and diabetic retinopathy? We know that diabetes and diabetic retinopathy is a leading cause of blindness in working age adults, and it affects American Indians, Alaskan Natives, and other minorities more than any other ethnic group. And some of the reasons for that is they have greater difficulty with transportation, the ability to access eye care providers, co-pays and other costs are prohibitive for them, and they may have a lack of health insurance. We know that the treatment for diabetic retinopathy is very effective, about a tenfold reduction in vision loss and a threefold reduction in vision loss from swelling of the retina. And studies looking at with some assumptions have estimated that just having an annual eye exam would save the government about almost $500 million a year. Well, why do CER? Well, there's been poor research designs. There's been no long-term follow-up. There's been no evaluation of cost-effectiveness using actual patient data. There's been no adoptable telemedicine system. And there's been no estimation of the health behavior related to annual eye exams. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today is the long-term results, talk about some of the cost-effectiveness, and talk about some of the health behavior factors related to attaining annual eye exams. So this is one of the devices we use. It's called a non-vitreoretic camera. And what it does, it uses infrared light. The patient's head would be located right here. It uses infrared red light to focus the camera on the retina. Because the infrared light isn't detected by the pupil stays wide. You take a flash photo, and the flash can get in and get out before the pupil comes down. And it's digitally stored, and plenty of studies show that it's as good or better than an ophthalmologist. And I'm an ophthalmologist. I cringe at that, but it is. It's better than us. It's in some ways, you got some time to look at the photo and see what's going on instead of having, you know, a patient moving their eyes around. And this satisfies two CER recommendations. Compare the effectiveness of interventions to reduce health disparities in diabetes, a second quartile topic, looking at new remote monitoring and management technologies, especially in chronic diseases, especially in rural populations. So we use what we call a staged intervention. Patients were randomized to two groups, the telemedicine group or the traditional provider group. And both groups, they come into their medical doctor. Their primary care provider will, if they're part of the traditional group, will just say, like they would with anybody, that you need to go get an annual eye exam because you're diabetic. Those that are in the telemedicine group, same thing, although they had the camera on site. And so the telemedicine group, we couldn't tell them that we could detect everything. So we told them that they still needed to go see an annual eye exam. And but the traditional providers, they would see their eye care providers as normally they would. We had two locations. One was a rural location in Oregon called Umatilla, located in Pendleton, Oregon. And a second was an urban population called Hunter Health Clinic in Wichita, Kansas. You might think, Wichita, why? There's so many Native Americans there. Well, if you remember the Trail of Tears passing into Oklahoma, it passed just, Wichita's just north of where that finished. And so there's a huge Native population there in Wichita as well. We, when we started the project, we had looked for some sort of software to do what we wanted to do, and there was nothing available. And we happened to have a programmer who worked for NASA who helped develop this HIPAA-compliant database or software program that you can take images from anywhere, send them anywhere, and just need an Internet Explorer as your software program. So it's one of those cloud-based computing or cloud-based software. It emails, if somebody gets an image, it'll email me on my phone and say, hey, there's a new image for you to look at. I'll go into my program, look at it. I'll grade the photo. It'll create a form for it, and that form will be automatically reported back to the sites. This is a big thing because a lot of times, even if you're an internal medicine doctor, a primary care provider, you'll send a patient to go get their eye exam, and you won't get a report back. We have another paper that we'll be working on looking at that at these clinics and see what the what the rate is of follow-up, even if they do go and see their eye care provider. We took 6 photographs of the eye. We took 2 centered on the optic nerve to look at glaucoma. Diabetic retinopathy also forms on the optic nerve with the good blood vessels grow there. We did 2 photos on the macula, or the center of the vision, to look for macular edema. And then we did 1 photo up here and 1 photo down here. These 6 photos have very high, higher predictability on diabetic retinopathy. We enrolled 567 diabetic patients, about approximately half in the camera group and half in the provider group. You can see that the hemoglobin A1C was quite high. They had poorly controlled diabetes for the most part. They had diabetes for a mean of approximately 9.5 years, and the average age is somewhere in the 50s. We had a huge proportion of non-white ethnicity, and I just want to kind of say a couple points about the population we're serving. The population in Umatilla is a huge reservation, and has a lot of difficulty getting follow-up with an eye care provider. The other location we had in Wichita had a large population of safety net clinic, had a large population of people that were homeless, living in shelters, et cetera. So it was a very difficult group, and if it works in this group, it can probably work in any group. The baseline results were the telemedicine group, about 92% of them had baseline images evaluated, where the provider group only about 44%. And so what we want to look at is just see if there's any type of bias for attaining an exam. We found that there really was no difference in any type of factor for an attaining an exam. Age, gender, primary ethnicity, blood pressure, et cetera, were all similar. We did find diastolic blood pressure was a little bit different, but I think this is just an anomaly of looking at all these factors. And one of the things that's important about a screening test is if everybody on the screening test needs to go get the full or the confirmatory exam. So, example, if you did a fecal blood screening for colon cancer and everybody was positive on it, and you had to send everybody to go get a colonoscopy, you might as well just do a colonoscopy. And the same thing here. If we did a screening test for diabetic retinopathy and everybody had levels of diabetic retinopathy requiring them to go see a medical doctor or an ophthalmologist, you might as well just send them to the ophthalmologist. Well, here we find that over 93% of people had levels of diabetic retinopathy not requiring them to go see an eye care provider. So you could use a screening test year after year in the majority of patients and just follow them. And a lot of these would go see an eye care provider, and the eye care provider would say, "Your retinas are fine." And so it's a good use of a screening test. This is the long-term results of our annual eye exams. So I mentioned here, year one, we had a huge proportion of those that had a telemedicine traditional. Even at year two, we're seeing a big separation. And what happened at year three? Why are they starting to collapse? And at year four, they're equal. Well, I told you that we did a staged intervention. The tribes would not participate in this if we said that everybody's got to be separated for 4 or 5 years. You're not going to be able to use the new technology. And so this is when the staging came in. And so it's nice. You can see a kind of a neat picture where those that were having that were offered telemedicine, both groups, they started to collapse. And you start to see the similar results in both groups. So we think the long-term results of telemedicine are very good. You can see there's a drop in the number of people that get annual eye exams. That's partly because of this patient population that we're working with. Basically, we're lost to follow-up to the whole entire clinic. We have no idea where they are. The next thing I'm going to talk about is health behavior. And what we did was we still have people that don't get annual eye exams. We don't know why. And so maybe it is just having a camera in the clinic and that's the only intervention you need. But we wanted to look at whether or not there was other reasons why people would not get an annual eye exam. We developed this questionnaire called the CADES based on the health belief model. This includes the constructs of severity, susceptibility, benefits, barriers, cues to action, and self-efficacy. We also had another category, such as are you satisfied with your eye care provider, et cetera. And we had 316 people that completed the survey. And this is a very busy slide, but basically it shows you all of the questions that were associated with adherence. We had about half the patients who reported they had seen an eye doctor in the last year, and about half the participants said they did not. And so we looked at what was associated with having an annual eye exam. You can see there's lots of different things that are associated with it. I mentioned that we had a 44-question questionnaire or a 36-question questionnaire, and you can see here these are the ones that were only associated. And so one of the messages about this is we may be able to take this long questionnaire and shorten it significantly and have the same predictive validity. As far as summary results of the health behavior results, we found that barriers were the most common. Self-efficacy, cues to action, benefits, susceptibility to having blindness, and severity of diabetic retinopathy were also things that were found. So what are we going to do with this? Now that we have this questionnaire piloted, we're going to use it to look at what are the health beliefs, and then it can be used to tailor interaction with the patient. One interesting thing that we found was, and we find this all the time, is that patients think that an eye exam, they have to have vision insurance to have an eye exam. And it has nothing to do with their vision insurance. Vision insurance has to do with getting your glasses, getting your contacts, and getting refraction. And so they don't realize that their medical insurance covers their eye exam. So that's one thing that we simple message to let people know that their vision insurance is just for glasses and contact lenses, and their health insurance is for their diabetic retinopathy. We can also use this for future interventions. We can look at some sort of targeted intervention, some sort of beautiful type interaction we've already seen today, where we have some sort of computer-based program, and you could figure out what their health beliefs are and create a targeted intervention based on those health beliefs. So the final thing we wanted to look at was cost effectiveness. And I told you that there's been some data suggesting that this is very cost effective. They simulate a patient scenario, they simulate costs, and so we wanted to look at it directly from the patient's costs. And so we asked patients about their costs, their copays, their insurance coverage, et cetera. And we wanted to look at cost effectiveness from three perspectives. One, from the patient. And as a clinician, you think about what the patient effect is. We also want to look at it from the case of a provider. If you're a primary care provider and you had to install this system in your office, how would that affect you? And then we want to look at the third-party payer. And so the cost from the patient perspective is that if they have a traditional eye exam with an eye care provider, they got a separate copay, they got a separate appointment, they got the travel time, they got to get dilation, and there's a lot of hurdles for them. And so there's some advantages definitely from the patient. As far as a payer perspective, they have to pay for a separate appointment for both the eye care provider and for the primary care provider. You could avoid that. There's an extra cost for an eye care provider. The telemedicine, if you bill it under a 92250, it costs about $40 to $60, where if you go see an ophthalmologist or optometrist, that same exam would cost about $160. So it's about three times the cost. And, there's other costs when they go into the eye care provider as well. But there's something that's interesting about looking at third-party payer. You know, the traditional eye exam is the most expensive. The screening eye exam is less expensive, but the least expensive is that they don't have any care at all. And so if you have somebody who's only having 40% getting eye exams and somehow you increase that to 100%, there's going to be greater cost for the third-party payer, for the insurance company. And then from the provider perspective, the traditional cost, it's easy. If I'm a medical doctor and I'm a primary care provider, I have a patient in my clinic, I just say, here, go see this eye doctor, and I hand him a sheet, and I'm done. Where if I have the telemedicine system in my office, I've got to figure out space for it. I've got to figure out somebody who's going to run it. I've got to figure out a doctor to collaborate with. I've got to tell the patient to go do this test. And so it's a little bit more of a headache for the primary care provider to do it. And that's something we've been looking at as well with some of our work with some of the primary care providers in our clinics. And this is just a very busy slide that kind of summarizes all these costs. And what you can see here is on each of these, the telemedicine is more effective. Telemedicine does cost more just because you increase from 40% to 90% get the annual eye exams. And this incremental cost increase is about $1,100 over a five-year period. So it does cost more from both a payer perspective, from the societal perspective, But for the patient, it does cost a little bit more too. They are going to be paying a little bit more of copay. And we're looking at this as well, but as far as time, it dominated the time for the patient. So is telemedicine cost effective? Not at all. If there's no doctors offering the service, the insurance will not pay for it. Patients do not get their yearly eye exam, and it's absolutely if the doctors invest in the service, if the insurance will pay for it, and the patients will get their yearly exam. The other thing about cost effectiveness we're looking at is that once they have a level of diabetic retinopathy requiring laser, that's an expense. But once they have a level of diabetic retinopathy requiring laser and they go in to have surgery, that's a huge expense. So, for example, proliferative diabetic retinopathy for a laser treatment is about $800 to $1,200. If they need to have surgery, it's about $10,000 to $20,000. And they may become blind regardless of the surgery. So we're still need to take this cost-effectiveness analysis data. We just got this data about 3 weeks ago and dichotomize it into proportions who have a late diagnosis and they're already in a form of proliferative diabetic retinopathy requiring surgery. So in summary, most patients do not have levels of diabetic retinopathy requiring an eye care provider. A shorter health belief questionnaire is important for informing practitioners. And telemedicine is cost effective for the patient. It's higher quality, but not necessarily less expensive for third-party payers. We were lucky to have some articles that helped with our dissemination. The article on the right was the article of the year in Oregon for the Oregonian about telemedicine. We have done some pilot testing. This is a clinic in our in Portland, and many of you probably are know that the new format for healthcare is going to be these accountable care organizations. Your role is to keep them out of your clinics. Your role is to keep them healthy. We think this might be a good way of keeping patients from coming to the eye care providers, and so we're hoping to try this out enough through our internal medicine clinic. We have about 14 to 15 internal medicine clinics throughout the region, and if we had something like this that could save all those diabetic patients from going to see an eye care provider, I think it would save money and help everybody. We're also got contacted by Samoa, and there's Eastern Samoa and Western Samoa, and Samoa has a problem because any diabetic who needs laser, they have not just the cost of having the laser, but they don't have anybody to do the laser and do the surgery there. So they got to ship them across the water to New Zealand at huge expenses. And so we're working with an ophthalmologist there to try out the system there. So, and as far as future manuscripts, we're looking at long-term. We're going to be writing that up soon. The incidence and risk factors for progression of diabetic retinopathy, the health behavior factors, which to my knowledge have not been published yet, and then this cost-effectiveness using actual patient data. So I want to thank all of our collaborators, the NIH, the NEI, the Centers for Disease Control, and all of our partners. Thank you.